I'm going to call this meeting of the Government Operations Committee to order. Today is Friday, July 17th, 2020. This meeting is being conducted remotely pursuant to Rule 10.01. Could the legislative assistant for the committee confirm that we have a quorum?
We have a quorum, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Salmick. We don't have any minutes to approve. You should have been emailed to ask for your approval for our last meeting. So the only item on our agenda is House File 71, which I'm the author of. And so I will move House File 71 be referred to the General Register. There is a delete everything amendment. So I will move also the DE1 amendment. This just puts in a retention provision that was suggested by, I believe, the Department of Commerce. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the amendment, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. So I guess I will just present the bill and then turn it over to testifiers. So this bill addresses an issue that any one of us could be confronted with. Real estate closings that require notarized documents and that are complex and take a long time with people in close proximity. These closings are a bad combination during the COVID-19 pandemic. For example, elderly or individuals who have compromised health or immune systems may desire to transfer property and will have to come in close contact with notaries who often do up to multiple closings each day in close contact with others. This is an opportunity to spread disease, and given the time and proximity of the individuals involved. I just closed on a house myself about a year ago, and the whole process took a couple hours. So it's an extended process in an indoor area. So some things having to do with closings can be done remotely. Notaries cannot witness signatures remotely under current law. This bill allows for notaries witnessing real estate-related documents to allow signatories to appear by video and audio. Notaries would have the obligation to maintain recordings of these taped appearances for at least 10 years. Allowing them to do this will expire 60 days after the peacetime emergency ends. The language is consistent with some other language we've adopted before. The legislation is not codified in statute and will expire January 6th, 2021. In the event we're still dealing with COVID at that time, which I certainly hope we're not, we can reconsider the legislation again. For those reasons, I ask for your support of this language, which is drafted very narrowly to address a specific problem. I have two witnesses, Alex Grundhofer, president of the Minnesota Land Title Association, and John Nielsen, underwriting counsel for Old Republic Title, to discuss the need further and answer any questions you may have. So, Mr. Grundhofer, could you please identify yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony?
Sure. So, I'm Alex Grundhofer. I'm the president of the Minnesota Land Title Association. I'm also the Minnesota Division Manager of North American Title. We've got 14 branches from Hinckley on the north to Austin on the south to Mankato on the southwest. And I would say that the need for this, or the realization that this was going to be a tool that we desperately needed to have in our arsenal, kind of became evident about a month into COVID. You guys are going to have to cut me off if I pontificate too long, because I'm pretty passionate about this. But long story short, I view RIN, Remote Ink Notary, which is what we're calling it, as another tool in the toolkit. Right? We've got plexiglass dividers. We've got hand sanitizer. We've got wipes. We've got social distancing. We have masks. Right? All of those things make it such that if you get in close proximity at someone, you are mitigating the risk. The only true way to avoid the risk is not to get in close proximity with people. And I think this really hit home for me probably April 1st or so. I did a signing with two people that were compromised health-wise and couldn't leave their townhome. And so I went there to sign two documents needed notarization. It was just a deed and a seller's affidavit. They were just selling property. They were taking the proceeds from their house. They were moving into an apartment and basically getting their house in order to address their financial struggles because of their health problems. And I went into the sliding glass door, and I just explained who I was and what I was there for. We had told him I was coming. And the guy came up to sign documents. I didn't step in because I was, especially then early on in COVID, not knowing, what we were dealing with. I was extremely cautious about everything. And so he struggled to come up there. He signed his documents and he dropped his pen. And I bent down to pick up his pen and I handed it to him because I didn't want to be a jerk and not pick up the poor guy's pen because he was not in a very good position to bend over to pick it up. And I'm sitting here after I left that, and I'm watching CNN playing in the background with how bad COVID is. And I had to go meet these people face to face, standing in their doorway to sign two stinking documents. And I'm like, if I killed that guy by handing his pen back to him, I'm never going to forgive myself. Now, it's kind of hyperbole. And looking back on it, we know a little bit more about how COVID works. But at the end of the day, everything is about mitigating risk. And when we looked at the easiest way to do that is to avoid people coming into contact with each other. And 30 states have adopted similar executive orders or legislation along these lines. And it seems just very commonsensical as another way so that if the consumer can't come in based on where we're at with COVID, or if the consumer has major concerns that would preclude them from coming in, or we have an office arrangement that doesn't promote or allow social distancing, that we just would really like to have this tool in our arsenal to be able to complete transactions. And I've had a lot of reach out from my membership in my position as the president of the Minnesota Land Title Association saying, please, please do something. We need to have this. So that's what brings us to this position today.
Thank you, Mr. Grundhofer. Mr. Nielsen, could you please identify yourself and then proceed with your testimony?
I'm John Nielsen, also from the Minnesota Land Title Association. I'm an attorney for Old Republic Title and an underwriter who works on real estate transactions around Minnesota as well as the Dakotas and Wisconsin, and I'm chair of our legislative committee. So that's why I'm joining Alex today. I don't have much to add. This is a relatively simple idea that instead of someone appearing in front of you, you can watch them sign a document over Skype and then notarize the document once you've received the physical signed version as the notary. And this obviously makes closings much more safe in that people do not need to personally appear. Presently, the law requires you to personally appear with the person whose signature you're notarizing. So that's the main gist of it here. I think Alex has covered the need for it as well as the chair very, very well. So just here to help answer questions if there are any.
Thank you, Mr. Nielsen. I don't have anybody else who's signed up, so we can turn to member discussion. And I don't actually have anybody on the list at this point. This could be a very short meeting. Representative Sauk, I see your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just going to affirm the need for this. I left real estate as a broker. I was president of the Realtor Association during that period of time. And there is nothing so slow as an industry like the real estate industry to adopt future tools that exist. This is just one of those things. I would say that at least 10 to 15 years ago, the tools started to exist. Then the public started to wonder why in the world they had to physically show up in places to satisfy these arcane laws. And we are now somewhere in the range of something short of 10 years just stepping into this, and we're being forced into it by a pandemic. So, I only see this action as being silly in that we have found it necessary to put barriers around how long this can last. And people in the future are just going to look at us and say, you know what, the tools exist today to do this, to satisfy the accountability that's needed. And I would suggest, I'm doing this after the fact on purpose, I would suggest that a simultaneous picture of the people present and the document that was needed can be rendered and stored, because right now we're creating a gigantic storage problem, not for only one place, but the brokerage involved, the closer involved, the county involved, and all these places that this sort of stuff has to be stored. And the idea of storing movies of that is really silly. But nonetheless, we're going to do that, and it'll be a part of our state law. So I'm only trying to reveal to everybody that some things like this, we need to let go of them, grab the tools of the future, and move on. So that's really all. I'm very much in favor of it and would encourage that somebody following me would take up the fact of just making this something that has no chance that it will continually and serially become out of date. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Stauch. Yeah, I think this pandemic is causing a lot of changes to happen pretty quickly, and I suspect once it's over, we might discover that some of those changes were really pretty straightforward and probably should have done a long time ago. But I think given the position we're in, circumscribing it, making it for a limited time is probably the way to go. A 3-hour video recording of a closing is probably not going to make the box office records list, but at least it's consistent with some of our other laws at this point. And so people don't have to avail themselves of this if they don't want to either. They can just use the traditional method if they feel comfortable with it. Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I had some questions about, I can see a great value in this tool, especially in potentially some more remote areas where it could be very challenging to get to a notary. My grandfather and my family's had a place up in Lake City right near Nisswa for a very long time, and I know that this often presented a challenge for folks up there. And I guess my question was perhaps a little bit similar to Representative Sauk's is, I certainly appreciate and understand the need for the sunset because we want to be very cautious about putting things through, and certainly it's a good opportunity to try something out. But I guess I'm curious, what would be the barriers or the rationale or difficulty in continuing this beyond the peacetime emergency? Is there any barriers, and maybe this is our folks from the Secretary of State could speak to, if there's any barriers to doing this on a more long-term basis? And again, to be fair, I'm in technology, so I tend to look a little bit more to those tools of the future, but I'm curious if there's anything stopping us from allowing this to happen and perhaps make life a little bit easier and streamline things for our citizens.
Yeah, I will turn it over to, I'm guessing maybe Mr. Brickwitty from the Department of Commerce might be the person to respond to it. I know the Secretary of State does have a role in this, but they've described it more as just as a filing cabinet, essentially, and Commerce is the agency with the substantive oversight over this area. But I know this language, this probably does make sense and hopefully is something we can do long-term. This language about pretty much all of these changes that we're making legislatively, I know, are being done temporarily until January 6th or 60 days after the pandemic, whichever comes first. So this is just kind of using the language we've used in other pandemic-related provisions. I think it's probably the way, just out of consistency, the way to go at this point. I know that doesn't mean that's not necessarily a good answer substantively, but it is kind of what we're doing. And as far as whether or not it's technologically possible to do it going forward, Mr. Brickwitty, would you be if you're the person to respond, maybe just identify yourself for the record and then proceed with your response.
Sure thing, Mr. Chair. For the record, Peter Brickwitty, Assistant Commissioner at the Commerce Department. Representative Boehner, and actually let me back up to Representative Sauk's comments as well. So Chapter 356, or excuse me, 358, which regulates notaries, of which the Commerce Department has enforcement authority over, but the Secretary of State's office has the registration responsibilities for. Chapter 358 has a very robust set of provisions around remote notarizations. Two sessions ago, the legislature passed the Revised Uniform Act on Notarial Acts. That was the result of an extensive stakeholder process led by the Uniform Law Commissioners here in Minnesota and parties including Commerce and the Secretary of State's office from regulated industries that use notarial services. And so there is an extensive record-keeping requirement to Representative Sock's comments that are that's embedded in 358.645 subdivision 4, which lists out the elements of a notarial act that a remote notarization is required to record in an electronic journal. And so, Representative Boehner, there is actually a very robust process for remote notarizations to continue beyond the scope of what we're talking about today. But if I might, I think the consideration that we've heard from the Land Title Association and others, is that because the remote notarization system, at least in Minnesota, is relatively new, the primarily lending organizations and others that are involved in the mechanics of the real estate transaction had not necessarily been able to stand up the remote notarization process as it is conceived of under Minnesota law. And I don't want to speak for Mr. Grundhofer, but as we've understood it from our conversations with them about this proposal, that is sort of the primary impetus for the legislative proposal before the committee today. Because that process exists in Minnesota law and can live on going forward after the pandemic is over. But at this moment in time, it's not stood up in an effective manner to facilitate the use of it in notarizations. I would also note, I think from the department's perspective, you know, our primary interest is in preventing fraudulent transactions from occurring. There is some degree of risk in this type of notarization. But as Chair Freiberg has noted, there is also a significant risk posed to the participants in the transaction from being in the same room at the same time at this current point. So I think, you know, our interest is how do we balance those two risks, or how do we evaluate those two risks across from each other? I would say that the audiovisual recording is helpful for us as the as an enforcement entity, both enforcing the Notary Act, but also being the regulator of the real estate industry and the financial services industry. And so having an audiovisual record of the notarization that is performed through this remote medium, but in a method that does not align with the existing remote notarization law, provides a method by which we can investigate a situation should there be a dispute following the finalization of whatever real estate transaction is being occurred and whether or not documents have been notarized. And that will help us protect consumers in the event that there's a dispute. Mr. Chair, I do have one technical question, and I think this is something specific to Representative Sock's comments. The language on lines 1.11 to 1.12 of the bill that allows the notarial officer to either directly or through an agent create an audio or visual record, I'm not sure that we at the department fully understand who that agent might be. And so I think it would be helpful to perhaps flush that out here from a legislative intent standpoint, and also make it clear that to the extent that agent would not be a regulated entity, that to the extent that Commerce, another regulatory body, or God forbid, a law enforcement agency would need to have access to that audiovisual recording, that we would be able to gain access to it in the course of performance of our responsibilities under Chapter 358 or during the course of an investigation of a real estate transaction. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy to answer additional questions.
Sure. Mr. Grundhofer, did you want to elaborate just on the distinction that Mr. Brickwoody mentioned between the existing statutes related to remote notary actions and this proposal and the need for it?
Sure. Can I address the third-party method that Peter talked about there a little bit, and then I'll get into the comparing and contrasting Brin and Ron, because that one's longer.
Yeah, sure. That was going to be my second question for you, so you're more than welcome to take them in reverse order.
Good. Sorry about that. I think the intent of that language in there, and John can probably chime in, is to explain that you might use a third-party portal to do the recording of the action, right? So it would be a question of, so Ron anticipates the notary using a third-party service to host the signing session. And so I would assume the intent there was to mirror the mechanics of Ron, absent the digital notarization, and the notarization is still ink, if that makes any sense.
Ron, just for my, is the remote?
Remote online notary. So I'll get into that here in a second. So I think that was the intent of the language. John, do you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Nielsen.
Yeah, that's right. I think the idea is that you might use a Zoom or some other software entity to both, you know, obviously meet with the person who you're going to notarize their signature, and you might have that same entity or software provider do the recording or retain the recording. So I think that's all that's really referred to there, because a notary might not have their own software or their own ability to record a Skype session or a Zoom session.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, who's
this is Mr. Brickwitty from Commerce. I might suggest that the language, the existing statutory language in Chapter 358, 645, Subdivision 4, has very specific language around what the responsibilities are for a notary who's performing a remote notarization under the remote notary law, for creating an audio and video copy of the performance of the notarial act. And there are a list of three responsibilities that the notary has for that notarial act and the maintenance of that audio-video record. And so I appreciate, Mr. the clarification from the Land Title Association that that's the intent. I might suggest that lifting the language from the existing law that that this is modeled after and putting it into this proposal would, I think, help make it clear what the responsibilities are for the notary. And I think it would also help clarify that, again, the regulatory agency or a law enforcement agency that in the conduct of a investigation of a dispute related to a real estate transaction that includes review of the notary documents, that we would be able to access that from the agent who may maintain that record on behalf of the notary.
Sure. I'm certainly open to that. Maybe as this moves forward, we can, assuming it ends up on the floor, we can, Mr. Gehring, I'm sure, has been taking notes on your suggestion here, and we can accomplish that.
Happy to work with you, Mr. Chair, on that. Yep.
Sure. And then Mr. Grundhofer, to the second point about the existing, the RON, I think it's called.
Okay, so yeah, let me get my table of contents or definitions out of the way. RIN equals remote ink notary, and RON equals remote online notary. So when the pandemic hit, all of us in the title insurance and closing business and real estate in general thought that RON would come to our rescue. In fact, when we first discussed this on the Minnesota Land Title Association's board, we were all kind of like, you know what, we've got the RON statute, we put a ton of work into it. Everyone's comfortable with the verbiage in it. I'm sure that eventually that will come to pass, that will save us, right? That will create a certain percentage of our transactions that become contactless and you know, meet our goals, which is to keep people apart when necessary. The issues with RON in practice versus in the laboratory is that the adoption of RON requires more dance partners. And so you need to affix the notary in an electronic means, and that creates a technological hurdle and in a technological investment that mortgage companies need to make. And so if you're going to do a full digital closing, which is ultimately that's our fairy tale, that's our dream, is full digital, which means every signature is electronic, the notary affixation is electronic, the notary acknowledgement is electronic, everything is E, including the note, then this would be a moot point. But the trouble is that even though we have the RON statute of record, the industry hasn't invested in becoming completely RON capable. And so what happened a lot was that our phone would start to ring when customers got nervous about coming to our closing. And it would even be, you know, representatives of lenders would call us and say, hey, I heard about this Ron thing. Can you guys do that? And we're like, well, statutorily, absolutely we can. And from a licensing standpoint, I have several people that I made go get Ron notary, licenses, assuming this would all come to pass relatively quickly. And then these people will go back to their lenders and the lenders will be like, yeah, we're not ready for Ron, so make them just notarize it the old-fashioned way. And to be quite honest with you, that kind of maybe offended is a little strong, but I kind of got the, you guys go figure it out from the rest of the industry, right? And I'm like, well, figuring it out means we have to expose ourselves. So is there a third way we can get around this, right? And so that's when RIN became something that we saw pop up in other states and we studied. And so what RIN does is it lowers the technological hurdle for the players in the transaction. We feel that more people will have the ability to do a Zoom call or a Skype call with even a phone, and that we can take other safety precautions around, identifying them, whether it be, you know, we know another party to the transaction that knows what they look like, and we include them in the Zoom call. We get a copy of their ID, obviously. We make them attest to the signing. I mean, our industry will create guardrails around this thing that will bring almost all of the protections that Ron has. It just won't have to be, they won't have to be electronic, right? And so I think my long-term hope for this thing is that RIN puts the electronic fear boogeyman out of mind. And then if people want to embrace Ron, they will spend the money to do it, right? And so RIN is, in my opinion, I think if we did RIN right, it actually would be fine. But my dream is that RIN proves, it's like a proof of concept thing, so that Ron gets more adopted more favorably. And because we put all this work into Ron, and Peter can attest to that, and we got it right where we wanted it, and nobody can do it, right? And so now in the event of a pandemic, we're like, well, if it's going to take a year for the industry, it's kind of like waiting for the vaccine, right? Like we're waiting for Ron to be viable, and it's not going to be. So that's where RIN comes in.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Grundhofer. Representative Bonner, I believe this all started with a question of yours. Do you have a follow-up, or has it been answered to your satisfaction? You're muted.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think for the most part, yes. I mean, my major question was what would be the barrier to seeing this go forward. It sounds like there are some challenges of folks getting comfortable with the technology, but it doesn't sound like, apart from that, that there's any real legal barriers or statutory barriers from this moving forward. Just more perhaps the adoption and finding a way to make the entry into doing this a little bit simpler for folks. So I guess that was the main question that I had around the barriers. So I guess my only thought on that was really that if it's a useful tool and it would help folks, because I tend to focus a lot on how we make government work better for real people, and this feels like one of those opportunities to streamline the process. So I guess I would be a proponent of, if it's something where there isn't a large barrier from a statutory standpoint or that kind of thing, that I would actually hope that we could even perhaps pursue this beyond the emergency as an option for folks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sauk, I saw you raise your hand. Is it to this point? I do have two members on the list also. Or would you like to comment now or wait till they?
I can wait and then comment later.
Okay, sure. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This recent discussion points out that you really shouldn't think that this would be something that we'd magically have it perfect and send it on. I think this opportunity for sort of a trial basis is good. We do our best legislation when it's not during a emergency, and there are probably additional points and discussions that would happen in the normal process when this is revisited. So, plus rules are implemented, and we actually have, the background knowledge of, okay, we've been doing it. what could we improve or what has been problematic with the discussion about technology and other things. You know, for the record, if I had the time, I would take and marry an auto pen with some software and, you know, secure linkage so that you could actually remotely sign in front of the notary the document. There would be visual and other fingerprinting to prove that you're the right person doing it. I mean, that's the kind of thing that will evolve and make this more secure. We're not there yet because we haven't dipped our toes far enough into the water. And so besides it being prudent, I think it's just right that during an emergency, the solutions we come up with should be temporary and then revisited. I'm sure whoever is chair next January will have multiple meetings on these type of items that came up for the pandemic to allow for flexibility, because there have been people that you know, needed this remote thing, just like the remote hearings that have evolved for the legal system and the courts. So yes, it'd be nice if we could be just awesome and have a perfect solution implemented. I think right now we need to look at having something that is workable, functional for this emergency situation, and then revisit it later. So I would support maintaining a expiration date on this activity because it'll force us actually to do a better job when we revisit it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Quam, and that is what the bill does. So I'm not planning on changing that. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the testifier, Mr. Brickwitty from the department. Question is this similar to the Notarial Act that we changed when I was on the Commerce Committee, I guess, 3-4 years ago? Is this governed by the same rules that the notarial changes that we had made back then?
Mr. Brickwitty, are those changes the RON changes Mr. Runtoffer was describing?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nash, I believe the answer is yes to your question. I believe it was two sessions ago that that the Uniform Notarial Act was adopted in Minnesota.
Okay, and thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I supported that after asking a fairly lengthy number of questions regarding the security and retention of the data. If the retention policy and the security of this data that's being created is the same, then I don't know that I'm necessarily opposed to it. And obviously, anyone who knows me knows I'm in favor of technological advances. But I guess the question that I have then would be for the chair. Mr. Chair, this is clearly governed by changes that were made and are governed by laws that roll up under the Commerce Department. I believe this bill has not gone to Commerce, and I would encourage you to make your referral not to the General Register, but to the Commerce Committee, because I believe that that does need to make a stop there. So I would ask you if that's your intent.
Thank you, Representative Nash. I haven't spoken with the chair of the Commerce Committee. The issue that the issue related to this that I thought might come up is that the bill might be, because it deals with real estate transactions, it might need to go to the Judiciary Committee, but I did check over there, and the chair of the Judiciary Committee said he didn't need to hear this. I haven't been aware of any. I saw Mr. Gehring just turned his camera on. I don't know if he has anything to add. Is this something that is... my understanding is that if there was any ambiguity about where this would go, it's maybe that it should have gone to Judiciary. I hadn't heard about Commerce. I don't know if you have any.
Well,
clarification there, Mr.
Garin. I can let Mr. Garin go first, but I do believe very strongly that given the fact that for 2 years of my life in commerce, I did hear about this because it took a while to get it over the finish line, that if it doesn't make a stop in commerce, that there will probably be some problems for it on the floor.
Okay, I think I would prefer to send it to the floor at this point, but I will confer with the chair of the Commerce Committee to see.
Well, perhaps Mr. Gehring might be able to offer us some clarity there, Mr. Chair.
Sure, Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure that I have anything in particular to add. So typically real estate transaction issues do go through the judiciary process, like you mentioned, and I'm not certain about its path related to commerce. And I know Ms. Pompeo is on. She staffs the Commerce Committee and might have something to say about that, but I think it's a judgment call for all of you on where you want the bill to go.
Ms. Pompeo, if you could just, yeah, maybe.
Chair and members, I agree with Matt. It's a judgment call. We did hear the large notary bills that went through. I don't know that it's a necessary stop to go to commerce, but I'd leave it up to your judgment.
Well, I will, Representative Nash, I'll confer with the chair of the Commerce Committee and see what she says. As you may know, we may not have much time left in this second special session, so I would prefer that this travel to the General Register. If it does need to stop in commerce, I'm certainly willing to address that, but it may spell curtains for the bill, realistically.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I certainly don't support that it would be quote-unquote curtains for the bill, because I do think that it's got merits. However, you know, when we were last in the majority, we were often lectured by you all that things were being bypassed in committees. And I'm going to point out the same to you, that if you choose to not put this through the proper committees, that I can do nothing but not support this on the floor and make a motion for it to be re-referred back to Commerce. By the very fact that the testifier today is from the Commerce Department, and by the very fact that they were the ones that they were most articulate about the specifics about how it is governed and how it is run out of Commerce, how can it not go to Commerce? So I may make a I'm going to make a motion for this to be re-referred to Commerce and ask for a roll call.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's certainly within your bounds to do now or on the floor, Representative Nash. I guess the only bit I would contest that I would maybe push back on, as you said, that's not going through the proper channels. From what I heard, it's kind of from House Research, it's something of a judgment call on the chair's part. So as I said, regardless of the outcome of this vote, I'll still give you my word that I will consult with the chair of the Commerce Committee to see if this needs to be heard there. But I won't be supporting this motion at this point. But certainly, if you continue to feel that way, you can make the motion on the floor as well. Or I may make it myself if the chair of the Commerce Committee says she wants to hear it after this point. So, is it to this motion, Representative Bonner? We do have a motion on the floor. Okay. Proceed, Representative Bonner.
Just one fundamental question. So, and maybe this is for Mr. Gehring or Ms. Pompeo. But I'm just curious, so, and I just want to be clear before we take the motion, is there anything in this bill that fundamentally changes the way that commerce would interact, or that the way that these signatures are processed, stored, regulated, other than we're allowing them to do it via video?
Mr. Gehring or Ms. Pompeo?
Chair and members?
Yeah, Ms. Pompeo.
Certainly talk to Land Title or the Department of Commerce about this, but nothing on the face of it seems to show that there's a great variance in how the notaries are regulated.
Okay. All right, thank you. Representative Bonner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess that was just my curiosity, because it sounds like there was a great deal of work that was done on the Commerce Committee to lay out what those parameters were for collecting this information, storing it, so forth. And if I guess this is, and folks are obviously willing to do what they wish, but I guess to me, I was asking that question to understand whether it really did merit a stop through commerce. And it feels like the only fundamental change here is that we're allowing those same rules that were thoroughly vetted to be, take place. We're just allowing for that to happen electronically. So that was really the clarification that I needed to help make a decision. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. Is there any additional discussion to this motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. By the very fact that it has gone through Commerce before, I would say that it needs to go through Commerce again. Many bills that we undertake that change only a few things still have the need to make stops in the appropriate committees. So you can roll your eyes all you wish, Mr. Chair, but the simple fact of the matter is this is governed by Commerce, and as a result of that, it needs to go through Commerce. So I wish you all the luck on this if it comes to the floor, because I will, if you choose to ignore this, I will make the referral there. And I just think that if you want to get this done, send it to Chair Halverson's committee. If it makes a very brief stop, it will have ticked the box that I'm merely asking that it does, and allow the members of the Commerce Committee to have a voice in it, because that is the committee of originating jurisdiction. It was created in Commerce. It therefore should make a stop in Commerce, even though you may think that it's just making a small and benign change. It should go there. So that is my referral and then my request for roll call.
Thank you, Representative Nash. I guess just again, I would, you know, we've changed, you know, it's the prerogative of the majority party to change the committee structure when they take control of the chamber. You know, when the GOP was in charge, they made several changes to committees. When we were in charge, we've changed several committees since 2 years ago. So I'm not saying this, I'm not saying one way or the other that this needs to go there. It sounds like it's a judgment call. It's my intention to confer with Chair Halverson to see if she would like to hear it. That's really all I can say at this point. If she doesn't think the path this is taking will be proven to be correct, if she does, I would make the motion myself.
Well, so, Mr. Chair, I'll be sure to remind you of your quote you just gave me there about the prerogative of the majority party to change things when we take the majority. So thank you.
Yes, fair enough. Okay, any additional discussion to this motion? Okay, Representative Nelson.
Let me unmute myself. Representative, or Chair Freiberg, I tend to have to agree with Representative Nash that if it's Commerce is the one that oversees this, it should probably have to go to Commerce, and I'm probably going to have to vote with Representative Nash on that point. So I just for your information, I think okay. He's right that if Commerce is the one that oversees it, the Commerce Committee should look at it and at least give it the blessing.
Okay, well, all right, well, I guess that's fine. I appreciate your comments. Is there any additional comments? Okay, seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Salk.
Pass.
Representative Quam.
Representative Quam votes aye.
Representative Bonner.
No.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Gomez.
No.
Representative Heinrich.
Aye.
Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Lehman.
Aye.
Representative Lee.
No.
Representative Lilly. Representative Mason. Representative Mason.
Pass.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Tice.
Aye.
Representative Vogel. Representative West.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me one second.
Should we call on the members who've passed?
Yeah. Representative Sock.
No.
Representative Mason. Representative Mason.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll say no.
Thank you.
I still might have lost.
The vote is 8-7 with two committee members not present. So the motion passes.
Congratulations, Representative Nash. You have outvoted the chair. I'm not sure this will go down in history as the most consequential overrule of a chair in history, but I guess credit where credit is due.
Well, Mr. Chair, there was no disrespect intended. I'm merely an institutionalist that believes that if you're going to pass something, it should go through the appropriate stops.
Okay. So the motion has been amended. This bill will now be going to Commerce. My sheet has, my computer's frozen. Is there any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, was that a motion to amend the motion or just to, Mr. Gehring, do we need to take another vote then to actually send the bill to Commerce, or was that the vote to send it to Commerce?
Sure, the way I understand it, Representative Nash made a motion to amend the motion to refer it to Commerce, so then you need a subsequent motion to actually move it out of the committee.
Okay, so I will move that House File 71 as amended be referred to the Commerce Committee as amended. Any additional discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. So thank you, members of the committee. I don't anticipate that we're going to be meeting again this special session, but who knows, there might be another one and we might have an opportunity yet.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Do we not have to do a roll call vote on the passing the bill out of committee? I think we can take votes on amendments and procedural, but to pass it out of committee, don't we? I believe we have to take a roll call vote under the.
I think you're correct. That was my oversight. It was just I got lost in the excitement. Mr. Gehring, can I just make a motion then? Can I redo the motion? Can I redo the motion? I'll maybe say I can since that. Technically wasn't the proper motion anyway, so maybe that vote motion doesn't exist. So I will remake my motion that House File 71 as amended be referred to the Commerce Committee. The clerk will take the roll on the bill, on the motion.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Sock.
Sorry, yes.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Representative Elkins. Representative Elkins.
Oh. Sorry, I was muted. Aye.
Representative Gomez.
Aye.
Representative Heinrich.
Aye.
Representative Kegel.
Aye.
Representative Lehman.
Aye.
Representative Lee.
Aye.
Representative Lilly. Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Tice.
Aye.
Representative Vogel. Representative West.
Aye.
With 15 ayes, the motion passes.
Motion carries. Is there any additional member discussion? Okay. Thank you for your time, and we are adjourned.